Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics. This is episode 18, recorded October 12th, 2009. Okay, we're back again, everybody.
Hello!
It's time to talk about...
dwarf pufferfish.
Yes. Now, the scientific name of the dwarf puffers in question are... Carino tetrodon travancorius, or travancoricus, and Carino tetrodon imitator. Who knows
That's
how they're actually pronounced?
Yeah,
something like that. They're often known as dwarf puffers or pea puffers, especially in pet stores. They like to call them pea puffers because when they're sold, they're often about the size of a green pea.
Very small. So, what are they for? Why do we want to keep a dwarf pufferfish?
Well, one thing we should talk about is that not everybody should keep dwarf pufferfish. They're not the easiest fish in the world to keep. They're not all that difficult, but you do have to keep several important things in mind. They're good for people with planted tanks, some experience, if they're prepared to deal with their special dietary needs, and the limited variety of tank mates that you can keep with them. They're also good if you like to control certain critters growing in your tank, such as snails and amphipods.
They eat those?
They do.
That's helpful.
Yes. But it's kind of a mixed bag, because they will eat those things, but they will also take bites out of things that you might not want them to take bites out of.
Okay, so not a beginner fish.
Not necessarily, no.
Doesn't really get along with too many other things.
It doesn't get along very well with a lot of things, and it has, you know, fairly demanding needs in terms of water quality. You don't want a tank with a lot of nitrates in it, so planted tanks are good.
Okay. How big of a setup do you need for the pufferfish?
Well, most people recommend about 2 to 3 gallons per fish. And if you're going to have more than one fish, you want a fairly large tank. Probably a ratio that's often suggested is one male to two females. The males can get nasty with each other if you don't have enough females in the tank. So if you had a 20-gallon tank, you know, you might have 10 fish in there, approximately, somewhere near 10 fish, with approximately one male and two females. So you wouldn't have exactly that much if you had 10 fish, but it would be something like that. And, yeah, right about there. As I said, a planted tank, which helps keep the water quality good, and these fish much prefer the planted tank with lots of places to hide and so on. And, in fact, they appear to require moss or something like moss, something similar to moss, as a spawning cue. So, planted tanks.
Okay. Now you mentioned that the males are pretty aggressive with each other. Are they aggressive? Are there, you know, tank mates that you can keep them with? What kind of aggression are we talking here?
Well, they will damage the fins of a lot of other fish. They will, in fact, kill some other fish, so you have to be careful. They have very sharp teeth, almost beak-like teeth, and they'll take chunks out of fins or even the body of many different types of fish. So the best tank mates are other puffers, and it's good. You could have, like I said, a 20-gallon tank with maybe 10 or so of them, something like that. Or you could have a male and a couple of females, something like that. But beyond pufferfish, the really only safe tank mates would be something like Otocinclus or bristlenose Placostomus, something that's kind of tough and armored and doesn't seem to excite them. The types of fish that like to adhere to surfaces don't seem to interest the puffers all that much, and so they don't tend to damage them. But swimming fish that swim openly in the water column a lot can be attractive to them in the wrong way. And the funny thing is, sometimes they can do okay for quite a long time without doing any damage, and then suddenly they'll just decide that they're extra hungry that day or something and start taking chunks out of everything. Mm-hmm. That's also the same with shrimp. There were I had this the two male puffers and a female puffer, all in different tanks, and the male puffers would not tolerate shrimp in their tank. Well, they were happy to have them, but as a snack, they would eat the shrimp in the tank. The female left the shrimp alone, and the shrimp were reproducing like crazy in the tank. These were red cherry shrimp, and then
so the males are more aggressive than the females.
They seem to be, but then one day the female decided she liked shrimp, and this was after about 2 years.
Hmm.
Of coexisting peacefully with shrimp, she decided, oh, shrimp are good.
And acquired taste, I guess.
Yeah, and so I had to remove her from that tank because the shrimp suddenly started disappearing, and I saw her chewing on one, and I rather suspected even before I saw that that's what was going on, so I had to remove her from the tank.
Okay,
well, I guess we should talk about materials. Like I said, planted tanks are good, so you'll want a good substrate that can help support the plants. It depends on the kind of plants you're doing, of course. If you're just doing things like Java fern and Java moss, you don't really need much of a substrate at all, if any. Java moss is one of the things, like I mentioned before, for a spawning queue, the male likes a little patch of moss or moss-like material, so you'll probably need something like that. And I think we'll go on to, when we talk about food, we'll talk about some of the other materials you need.
Okay. What are good sources for finding the dwarf pufferfish?
Well, a lot of pet stores carry them. Like I said, you might find them under the name pea puffer. I'm certain you could find them on the internet as well. But they're typically not very expensive, although they're not always available. You might look at a pet store for quite a while before you find one. They seem to be, you know, seasonally available, and sometimes they're more popular than other times, but just most pet stores will have them on occasion, or you can try to special order them. But since they're only, you know, maybe $3 or $4 to buy one, you might not want to look on the internet.
So you don't have to pay the shipping.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are their water parameters like?
Well, water parameters, they're not terribly picky, although some puffers require varying amounts of salt in the water. Some puffers, of course, are 100% marine puffers. Some change their requirements for salinity during their lifetime, and others are brackish puffers and so on. Dwarf puffers, and let me emphasize this, are not brackish fish. They're not marine fish. They're 100% freshwater fish. And so don't add salt to their water. They don't require it. In fact, it could possibly harm them if you get too much of that in there. So just what's more important, I always kept mine in alkaline, somewhat hard water, but what's more important is good water quality in terms of, you know, low dissolved wastes such as nitrates in the water.
So do
and so
your
on.
Water changes and that
yeah.
kind of thing?
Do your water changes regularly. They probably need bigger water changes than some other fish, so you might want to make sure you get about 50% water changed every week. You could do it in 25% installments. That'd probably be better than trying to do 50% at once. Temperature, most people recommend about 80, but I've had good success at lower temperatures in the mid-70s too, without any problem. So somewhere probably between mid-70s and 80 degrees.
Okay, so what do we want to feed them so that they don't eat what they're not supposed to?
Well, snails are great. Ram's horns and pond snails work really well. Some people say to steer clear of the Malaysian trumpet snails. I've never tried to feed the Malaysian trumpet snails, and I wouldn't, because it is said, although I have no direct experience with this, that they can hurt their teeth on a Malaysian trumpet snail because
their
shell is
their
harder.
Their shells are harder?
Their shells are harder, yes. But I've seen them go with gusto after ram's horn snails and pond snails just fine, and they'll eat those.
Which I suppose is one of the reasons why people want to keep them if they have a snail problem that they need to clear out.
Right, right. Originally I had a planted tank with some Pellia growing in it, and Pellia is a liverwort. Maybe we'll talk about that in another show. But it's a vaguely moss-like plant, not exactly, but something like a moss, for those of you who don't know what Pellia is. That's not even its real name, but that's what everybody calls it. That's comes from the old scientific name, or the mistaken scientific name, but anyway, that's a tangent. Okay, so
no,
I had
no,
some...
it's a trailer for another show.
Oh,
right?
There you go. So we had this Pellia growing in a tank, and it was growing really well, and there weren't a whole lot of fish in the tank. I think I just had shrimp at the time, and the amphipod population in the tank decided, ooh, this Pellia is good stuff, and started eating it up, and was just damaging this Pellia. It was trying to grow, but they were just nibbling it down, and with no fish in the tank, their population increased as they had all this food to eat of all this Pellia. And so I said, I'll try a puffer, a dwarf puffer. I had read about them, done some research on what they needed. Put this one puffer in a 4.5 gallon tank with this Pellia, and the amphipods were gone, and the Pellia bounced back.
How long did it take them to clean it out?
Not long. They have pretty big appetites for such small fish. They only get to be about maybe an inch, a little over an inch long, the big ones. You know, I had one that I had for over 2 years that was probably about an inch long. That was a female, and probably the biggest one I've ever had. The males were a bit smaller than that. But they'll eat a lot for their weight, and they can eat until their stomach bulges. They're pretty crazy that way. So snails are a great food. It's one of their natural foods in the wild that they eat is snails. Snails about the size of the puffer's eye are ideal, but some puffers will go after larger ones. And they will eat...
And his eyes aren't bigger than his stomach, I guess.
No, they're about the same size, I guess. And they'll eat several of those per day. And there are other foods you can feed them besides snails. Amphipods, they love those. And I culture amphipods as a food source for fish, so that works. Really small red worms, I've used those just fine. They work well. Just like newly hatched red worms out of the culture, they work fine. Grindle worms are great. They love grindle worms. Those work. There are relatively few puffers that will eat things that are not moving. Some of them will eat frozen food. At best, any of my puffers have only taken like a half-hearted nibble at frozen food and then spit it out. So I've had to give them exclusively live food.
Okay.
So that's one reason why it's not the great beginner fish, because unless you're prepared to culture several types of live food, it's not going to work for you.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. You know, some of us aren't that big of a dinner of frozen entrees either, so...
Yeah, but I don't like my food was still wiggling either.
That's true. What if you want to breed dwarf puffers?
Well, I've got to tell you, I've never attempted to breed them, but I can give you some basic information. First of all, you need to be able to distinguish the gender of dwarf puffer, and this is rather easy with adults and even sub-adults. The males have kind of a yellowish, kind of yellowish-green belly, I guess, and they have a line that starts from their mouth and goes all the way along their belly down towards their tail. And this line is especially pronounced in dominant males if they're in a large group, and the older they get, the more pronounced this line is.
What color's the line?
The line is a dark line. I guess it's sort of... It depends on the puffer, because each puffer is a little bit different in its color, but kind of a brownish color, I guess.
Okay.
Maybe greenish. I'm a little colorblind, so it's a little hard for me to tell. But something like that. It's a dark line, and it's easy to see, even on fairly small ones, as long as they're, you know, it's kind of a dominant individual, but even in the subdominant, you can see a little bit. And then around the eyes, a mature male puffer has wrinkles. That's the best way to describe it. Especially behind the eyes, they have these little sort of kind of metallic lines that look like wrinkles around their eyes. The females lack those, and the female's belly tends to be white, a little bit more rotund than the male's, and you don't see that bar or that line that goes all the way from the mouth towards the tail.
Okay.
If they're going to breed, you know, you want to have a pair, and you want to have a fairly spacious tank, maybe 10, 20 gallons, with lots of hiding places for the female to hide if the male's getting too aggressive.
Should you just have one female with them for this purpose, or should you still have more than one female in there?
Well, I think people have tried both, but I think you might do better with just one. I don't know. Like I said, I've never really tried it, but you might want to look into that a little bit more, and then if you're interested in breeding them. And then the male requires a little patch of moss or moss-like plant to protect as his territory, and he'll try to entice the female to lay eggs there, which he will fertilize, and then guard, and he will guard them until they start to swim. And after about that time, I think most people remove them from the tank, move their male from the tank, and raise them. And at that point, once they're, you know, free swimming, start swimming around the tank, it's possible that he'll go after them. So that's usually when they remove the male from the tank. Yeah, and the babies, I believe they will take microworms right off, but I'm not positive about that, so I'd look into that a little bit more if you are interested in that.
Wait, anything else you want to... Any other little tidbit you want to tell us?
I have an anecdote.
Ooh, tell us an anecdote.
Okay. Well...
Is it an amusing anecdote?
I don't know how amusing it is, but it was quite surprising, at least, for me. It was several years ago, and I was trimming some plants in a 4.5-gallon aquarium in which I had my first puffer. This was, like I said, some time ago, maybe 5 years ago, something like that. And I had removed the reflector and the lid of the aquarium, the cover glass and everything, doing this trimming. And my young daughter, I think she was about 18 months old at the time, she was pretty young, was sitting there looking, watching as I did this, which I was fine with, but then I did something I shouldn't have done. I turned my back as I was dealing with some of these plant clippings for 5 seconds. It seemed like it was not long at all. And I turned back around and the fish was gone. The puffer fish. I couldn't see him. And then, with a flash of intuition, I looked at my daughter's hand and carefully helped her open her fingers and noticed that she had the puffer right in her hand. I have no idea how he got there. If he jumped out of the tank and she grabbed him, or she reached in and grabbed him when I turned around, but I didn't hear any noise.
Pretty good fish catching.
And
skills.
I was right there. I was just turned around. I had not stepped away from the tank. In fact, I was kneeling down in front of the tank. So I had not stepped away or anything, and she had managed to get this puffer in her hand. We put the little fish back in his tank, this poor dwarf puffer, who had been so rudely removed from the tank. And he was none the worse for wear, did just fine after that, and lived quite the long and happy life after that. So no harm was done, despite the
diligent efforts of a small child.
Of a small child to make it otherwise. So they're not for everyone, but they might be for you, and if they are, I suggest you visit www.dwarfpuffers.com. I'll put that on the resources page too. That's where I got most of my information to get me started. If you're planning on breeding them, or you just want to know some more things about them, great place to go.
Thanks.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions, please email us at info@aquarimax.com.